Hey guys, welcome back to the B-List. I'm B. I'm joined here today by Mariah Smith. She is a writer, a comedian. You've written for New York Times, right?
Yeah.
New York Times, GQ, Complex, Cosmo, The Cut, Jezebel. You have your own podcast called Smith Sisters Live. It's on Radio Andy, Sirius Radio. Is it Sirius XM? Is that, I don't even know.
Sirius XM. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess it's either. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. She wrote for Fox's sitcom Outmatched, which I want to talk about. And then Tracy, my producer, referred you to me, and she was like, she's very active on Instagram. And so I was like, I thought I was the most active person on Instagram, as most people know. So I had to meet you.
Oh my God. Thank you. Lovely intro.
How are you today?
I am good. It's a beautiful day in a new Biden administration.
It feels good. It feels the same, but like different.
It feels the same, but also like
you're gonna have to sign some more of them as executive orders.
Exactly. He needs to spend a little bit more time behind that desk with all those pens, signing all those little folders. Yeah. I just feel like we don't have to hear as much about the man that was there before him.
Yeah. Yeah, yesterday he signed like 17 executive orders, which is really awesome. But I need you to do more. Like, there needs to be, like, you can sign, like, give him a Sharpie. Give him a stack of Sharpies. I want him, like, Teresa Giudice at a Fabellini launch. Like, I want him just, like, signing the shit, passing it off, signing the shit. Like,
we can all day.
Okay. If there's one thing he can do, just, like, lock him in that room. But I'm so hype. We have a new president. We have a black female vice president.
Yes. And so. I'm so hyped to actually, yesterday, being able to pay attention to the fashion again, because that was like the most insane thing
you
that
said
was happening.
Being able to stand women again.
Exactly.
Yes.
I'm like, yes, go off coats, go off monochromatic. It was a vibe.
The rainbow. Do you think that rainbow was like on purpose? Do you think that they were like planned that? Was there like a group chat with Amy?
I think there was a group chat. In my soul, I feel like there was a group chat, because there's no way that was a coincidence.
Yeah. Oh, I can't imagine that group chat. I feel like Amy would be the most over. You know how there's like always one person in the group chat who chats like all day, and it's like, do you work? Like, stop. And you're like, that's Amy. Amy Klobuchar is like sending every meme that she sees. She's like, did you guys see this? She's like sending it like 3 weeks after we've all seen it from,
It in text, on Twitter, on Instagram. She's getting you all verticals, being like, did you see it? I just want to make sure you saw it.
Yeah, she got like the pixelated Android screenshot from Facebook. It's like, are you blue state or?
Oh my God.
I really judge people on like how they send memes.
Like, I do too. I'm like, and my biggest pet peeve is if I sent someone a meme on Instagram and then they send it to me on Twitter. And I'm just like, please check your correspondence before you submit something to my phone. Like, I need you to be
the way my
fully
phone
aware.
Acts. The way my storage is set up, there's no space.
There's not no space, baby. You gotta check and make sure we didn't discuss this already.
Yeah, because sometimes people, like, I'll post things on my story and then everybody, something comes up. For instance, like the Bernie sitting down. We're gonna get to this, but Bernie sitting down. You know, and I posted it and I was like, this is a moment, like at the moment. And then the next day everyone's sending me all that, like, okay, it's done.
It's done. It's done. I woke up today. It's giving me that celebrity elf on the shelf, which really made my skin crawl.
I absolutely
hated that. And this Bernie moment is giving me that. Yeah.
That's the first big meme of the year so far, I think.
It is. Yeah. Was there something else? Oh, I can't remember. It must be Bernie or that daddy hat girl.
Yeah, that's true. But that was more just like a whole
Was a whole moment. Yeah, that was
this
a
is
moment.
Like an image. You had to watch that whole interview to get the daddy hat thing.
Yes, you just need the image.
I was going to say something about him. Did you see like a favorite sitting down? Because I saw like him sitting next to the street meat cart. I saw him sitting on the train.
That was funny. I loved the train. I also saw one of him sitting like in the background of one of Kim Kardashian's private island photo shoots. And that one all got tested. Me good.
Yeah. Everyone's good.
Everyone's good. Just feel like it's normal for a moment in time. That was great.
My favorite was this morning I woke up and someone posted the, do you know Justin Sylvester?
No.
He's the black guy. He's a host on Daily Pop on E!
Oh, yes. I know him now that you.
Yeah. He's so funny. He posted Bernie sitting in the chair in Steel Magnolias, and he has his hair in rollers, and Trudy's doing his hair.
Oh, my God. I got to go look at that.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the all-black remake of Steel Magnolias?
I haven't, but I should. But here, the gag is, I haven't seen the original.
Oh, shit. Okay. Wow.
But I get it. I'm like, I get it. And I know.
Not you judging people by the memes and you haven't seen Steel Magnolias. Oh, my God.
The nerve.
Priorities.
But I'll put it on the list. There are a lot of gaps that I have to fill. And that, unfortunately, is one of them.
It is so good. If I could even say, I grew up on the white one, but after seeing the black one, I was like, because I got it on bootleg, too. And I was like, because there's a moment where.
So you really saw the black one.
And I was like, it was a long time ago, but I was like, but I remember I was like, damn, this is like better than the original. Like, this is a movie where I feel like this should have been as I think I read somewhere, I don't know if this is like just in my head, but I feel like I read that the original writing or the screenplay for it was supposed to be black women, and it totally
wasn't. Queen Latifah in the remake?
She was. It was like Jill Scott. It was Queen Latifah. It was Felicia Rashad.
Yeah.
It was like an all-star.
Okay. And it was like someone. I'll watch that one before the original.
It was so good. Okay. It was on. It was like made for TV too. But yeah. I want to talk about. I've never actually seen Outmatch, but I saw that Jason Biggs is on there.
Yes. 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 So.
And I grew up. He was like one of my first crushes.
Are you serious? That is hysterical.
Really weird.
From what? Like, what did you see him in American Pie? Was that it?
Yeah, but he was also in this movie called Loser, which was also like a kind of big film. It was like him and Mina Suvari. I think he informed a lot about like the kind of guys I would have crushes on, just like goofy.
Yeah.
Like he's larger nose, like bigger features.
I will say, speaking of things I never saw, I've never seen American Pie. But I knew Jason Biggs, obviously, like, just because he's just been around. But it's a sitcom. It was on Fox. It only ran for one season, but it was a great first season. It was fun. It was good times.
Did you have any favorite sitcoms growing up?
Oh, God, yes. I absolutely loved, like...
Because I just, like, lived on those. That's, like, Yeah, that's like
Friends.
All you watched.
I loved Living Single. I loved Will and Grace. I loved, like, I just watched a lot of TV because when we were growing up, my dad had a rule where it was like we could watch whatever we wanted to watch, but we would have to talk about it afterwards. If it was like rated R or rated PG-13 or whatever, we would have to have like a sit down discussion. So we watched a bunch of TV and then had to break it down sort of academically after the fact.
Oh my God, I
could not. So that was fun. And looking back, I'm like, okay, that was good. In the moment, it was pure torture.
I can't even imagine. I grew up in a single parent household. It was just my mom, and she would always bring me with her girlfriend, Rose. She would just bring me places if she couldn't get a sitter. She would bring me to R-rated movies. She would just cover my eyes during the bad parts, and I was there. And her friend Rose is sitting next to her just like cracking up. I went to go see Jungle Fever in the theater. I saw New Jack City in a theater. This is probably why I am the way I am today. I saw too many R-rated movies in the theater.
Hey.
In the Dollar Theater. Remember the Dollar movie?
Yes, I remember the Dollar movie.
They would be smoking weed in the back. I said they, not my mom. Like strangers would be smoking weed in the back. And my mom was like, don't pay attention to it. Just keep watching the movie. Thank God we didn't have to talk about Jungle Fever after. Oh my God. What?
That would have been so awkward. That would have been
so
like...
So fucking awkward. So
I remember it was so awkward when we had to talk about Austin Powers back. And like that was... Or like Wild Thing. Those were hard to break down.
Okay, so yeah, no. I mean, I just keep thinking of like all the sitcoms that I... Because I remember that's like all I would watch. It was like that or Unsolved Mysteries, but it was like Family Matters every Friday. you know, obviously Full House, but Family Matters is like very big when I Step by Step.
Oh my God, Step by Step.
Yeah,
that was
that one might be my favorite.
That one was, and I don't think people give Step by Step its flowers enough because it There were so many people, and I'm like, it had icons, it had good stories. I remember watching that with my sisters, and we would watch that and Clarissa Explains It All. I think, was that the Thank God It's Friday, like, line, part of that lineup?
TGIF.
I think it was part of that lineup, and that was a cultural moment.
Yes, that's because before you even, like, knew what going out was, like, before, you know what I mean? TGIF was it. You would get your pizza. Remember when you would go to Pizza Hut and they would be like, Pizza Hut used to be, for all the not millennial people listening, but like when you used to go to Pizza Hut, it was like a restaurant. Like you would sit down and they had those Tiffany lamps above the booth and you would like, it was like a nice restaurant. Like you would go to Pizza Hut. Now it's like, you don't go to a Pizza Hut.
You're not going in there to sit down. I also remember Pizza Hut being the pizza that where they would have these things where you had to read a certain amount of books in my school and then you got like free Pizza Hut or something. It was it was one of the best parts of being a child.
Yes. Black Lady Sketch Show, we were talking about that a minute ago because your sisters, because your sisters are on a show on your podcast together, Smith Sisters Live, and your sister's the head writer for that. I love that show. They were in season one and then they were coming,
but now they're working COVID on season two.
Okay, great.
So
a lot of Angela Bassett.
Love Angela Bassett. She was nominated for an Emmy for it. It is an iconic show. I like rewatch it constantly because there's always just something funnier and funnier happening. So I'm just like, this is, it's a gem. It's so necessary. It's the best show. Yeah.
Angela Bassett never won anything for What's Love Got to Do with It, right?
She like, didn't?
I don't think so. I should look it up, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, definitely not an Oscar, and that's what she should have won.
She should have won.
Oscar.
Speaking of shows you shouldn't have, or movies you shouldn't have watched as a kid, that's one of them too. I remember watching that being like.
I watch it like every year. Like every, just her, it is so good.
It's so good, but I feel like it's that.
But the way they would whip each other's asses,
exactly.
Oh my God.
Exactly!
I was like, I had no business watching that.
It is so upsetting to watch, but it's that so, and there's this Lifetime movie with Candace Cameron and I think Fred Savage where he like plays her boyfriend and like kills her or something.
Oh wow.
It's What's Love Got to Do with It in that movie where I'm like, I saw it once is enough. I get it.
See, but I like What's Love Got to Do with It just for the moment because, you know, you see her get her ass whooped the entire movie. And then there's that one moment in the limo when he's hitting her and she just switches and she starts beating his ass. And I'm like, get.
Like, and I love that movie.
That moment, that little click where she turns around and starts beating his ass. And then you like the audience was clapping in the theater. That was Inauguration Day. That was us getting our asses whooped. And then that was just us turning around. That was the entire month of November.
Oh God, yes. And then us around me like, I got you. Like,
got you.
Don't you, like, you tried to take me down, I got you.
Love it. Happy late MLK Day.
Thank you.
I'm glad that's over. I honestly even feel like it was kind of a blur because we were also focused on like the insurrection and Inauguration Day. And it was like all the insurrectionists were posting like Googled MLK quotes.
Yeah, wrong MLK quotes. And it's just like the thing about MLK, I think Roxane Gay tweeted, you need to have like a license or a special degree to post MLK quotes because people get it wrong so often. And they literally find the first Google image that pops up and they're like, oh,
and it's always black and white.
Yeah, always black and white.
Convenient and black and white.
And I'm just like, this is y'all just take a few more clicks to figure out what's real and what's false. Let's just start there.
Yeah. And if y'all hated Black Lives Matter, then y'all are going to hate MLK and what he stood for. By the way, he's a socialist too. Like,
it's like, spoiler alert, you would have hated him. So
keep
him stepping and just get off your phone.
So honestly, I'm kind of like happy that it was kind of like, you know, people that know knew, but it wasn't like, you know. But you know what I will miss about this MLK Day? because everything is closed, outside is closed, yeah. But no MLK Day flyers.
Oh my God.
The club
You're
flyers?
So right.
You know what
You're
I'm talking about?
You're so right. I didn't even think
Ladies
about that.
Ladies drink before. And then they put like a photo of like Meek Mills because he looks like his son or something.
Yes.
I look forward to those every year.
Just the most inappropriate thing you could possibly imagine. And it yeah. happens. That is so true. It's one of those little things you're like, okay, the pandemic has some upsides. Like this.
Yeah,
is,
yeah, yeah.
That's one of them.
It's messy, but I you know what? I'll kind of be ready for it when it comes back around again. When outside opens up again, I'll be like, oh, well, things are returning back to normal.
Nostalgic.
Nature's healing.
Yeah.
Pence tweeted yesterday. I think it was yesterday God. Or was it the day before? He tweeted about his time in the White House. He was like thanking everyone for allowing him to be their vice president. And he just posted, you know, the requisite four photos and no mention or photos of Trump anywhere in it.
Ooh, I think Pence is tired of that person.
He's tired.
He's like, honeys, I've been through the ringer. And I was talking to someone, and the fact that, first, it's wild that now we all love George W. Bush. Secondly, it's wild that
we
all feel, people who are like,
That is like the most, that is the most popular phrase of Black people and brown people for all of 2020 was, who's we?
I will say, I am like...
Maybe Michelle, but that's
maybe
it.
Yeah, Michelle. Let's put it that way, Michelle. So I feel like we have sympathy for Pence and now Bush a little bit. And I'm like, that's how much Trump has twisted up and turned and turned the stomachs of this country. Like, Pence, for me to be proud of him for doing the bare minimum by not mentioning Trump in that tweet... That is the effect of how horrible Trump was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad they took his Twitter away.
Me too. That was one of the best days on Twitter this past, like the past 12 months were when Trump got COVID and when his Twitter got deleted.
I would say, honestly, the best days. I would maybe reach and say of all time, the best
of
Twitter
day. True.
Of all time, everybody across color lines, everybody was turned up. There was a mass exodus. It wasn't just him too. It was like all of his cohorts too. And everyone was just like, oh wow.
My God. Did you read, I read this, I think it was in Politico, this article about how Trump, what did he do? He like pulled away from QAnon and now they're all turning on themselves. And they all were like, what did he, they all were like, he messed up. He has us out here. Nothing that he said would happen. And they're all like now on Telegram acting up. And it is just a joy to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. The new social media app, messaging, what is it? Like a pigeon? Messaging pigeon?
Messaging something. I will say I have.
Courier pigeon.
I'm in a Telegram group only because I got invited to, with this is so embarrassing, with this small number of people to discuss Grey's Anatomy whenever we see fit. That's the only use I know Telegram for. That is
sounds
it.
Very ghetto to me. I'm not doing it. I'm not touching it.
And the thing is,
I should talk though. I'm on Clubhouse.
I'm on Clubhouse too, but I don't participate. Clubhouse creeps me out. I'm like, what it are does. Y'all talking about?
But just sometimes you'll find a fun room. About?
I have yet to come across one.
Yeah, I'll let you know after this. I'll tell you. And there's
you
been
gotta
a
tell
times.
Me what rooms are good, because I'm like every time I dip into a room, it is the most boring or most outlandish thing I've ever experienced in my life, or it's porn. So I don't know what it is.
Oh wow! So just to describe for the people, because there's probably people that are listening but Clubhouse is like a new app. It's in beta phase, right? Which one means like testing it out. Yeah. You have to be like invited. So we're obviously...
It's exclusive.
It's kind of exclusive. It's a lot of like random like celebrities, but it's more like shade room culture.
Yes.
Right? Because it's like Jason Lee and stuff is on there. But there's like rooms. It's kind of like chat rooms, but it's all like people speaking.
Right.
Right? So it's like you go into... It's like audio. Moderators. But it's kind of interesting. I found myself like putting it on and just forgetting about it. And I was like, yeah. Because it was just talking shit. Jason Lee said he slept with Jussie Smollett.
Stop it. Jason Lee is so out of pocket.
He really is. I cannot stand him.
Stan him. Whenever I see his face pop up on Hollywood Unlocked, I'm like, keep him in the back. Just don't do it. He said, oh, okay, now I gotta listen.
Of course
listen.
He did. He was talking about how he laid in bed with Jussie Smollett. I was like, you know what? Let me turn this off. I should have known. I mean, Jason Lee is the same person who threw a drink in Hazel Lee's face on Love & Hip Hop Season 2. Love & Hip Hop Hollywood. Oh, my God. So.
Should have known.
Inauguration. Some highlights for me, if I may. Yeah. Amanda Gorman.
Oh.
Poet.
My favorite thing about yesterday, actually, was watching her Instagram grow from 180,000 followers to over 2 million followers. And I'm like, this is what television is made for in this day and age. I'm like, this is why we publicize people. I am obsessed. I'm gagged. She was
using
13.
Social media for good. It's like overnight.
Overnight success. And I'm like, look at that. Go off.
You know what was great is at the end of the inauguration when everyone was walking back in through the Capitol and throughout the building and, you know, just kind of like meandering around, I never saw so many black people in the room. Just like random black women just walking around. One was like kind of lost trying to, and I was like, this is like someone's aunt, you know, it's people's assistants or like whether it's, you know, like whatever. I just like have never seen so many colorful, so much color in the fucking,
It was beautiful, especially after seeing that pasty insurrection. It was nice to see some beauty and color and like joy in the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Adults are back.
Yes.
Michelle obviously was the highlight for me, just seeing her fit. She had bundles in. She looked amazing.
Yeah.
I love how like last year she was like just a ponytail. And then this year was
just
like
snatch it back.
Yeah, this year she was like, okay, I have time. Let's do. And she went to the salon and she's like, do me. Just do my just do my shit. Like, I just want to, like, really do this. The last time she was like, let me get the fuck out of here. I can't.
As quickly as possible. My mom was like, I came to terms with the fact that Michelle does have bundles. I never thought. It's like, it is. It's
she's
just,
living her life.
She's living her life. And that is okay.
She give a fuck and what y'all I have to say. She's like,
exactly. Yeah. She is like, sew that mess in and keep it stepping, okay? Yes,
exactly. I love it. You know who's really living her life is, which daughter? Malia. Is it Malia or Sasha? Which one's the younger one?
Both of them. Sasha is the younger one. The one who's Sasha's been on. Yeah. Sasha was keeping quiet for a while, and then she popped up on these TikTok and said...
She said, I want to have some fun, too. She showed
Malia's
up with her almond-shaped nails and her belly chains.
The tattoos.
And her leave out on her sewings, and I was like, okay, I love it.
Great.
I love it. Because Malia used to get shit just for, like, smoking cigarettes because she hung out with too many white people that were, like, sneakily taking photos of her.
She didn't know how to keep it on lock, and Sasha learned from Malia's mistakes. But then on top of that, she was like, when I want something to be out there, it'll be out there.
It's going to be for me.
Yeah, she's giving us clues of who she is. And
a celebrity.
I wish I were both of their best friends. I'm like, I'm obsessed with them. They are the best.
I would be more Sasha. She hangs out with cooler people, I think. You know, I don't trust anyone that's around Malia. I don't think Malia's like, you know, Malia's been caught out there way too many times for me to like think that her friends are any good. So I want her to like do a real evaluation of like her friend group in 2021. Maybe it's happening. I don't know.
But... And look at what Sasha's doing and follow that model.
Exactly. Why can't you be more like your sister?
I know, right? Come here, baby. You want to be more like your little sister.
Your sister. We have Bernie, obviously. Then we have Kamala dressed in all purple.
Yes.
Looked amazing.
Looked gorgeous.
AKAs. It was AKA Founder Day. Founder's Day.
Yes.
It was like on Friday.
Yeah, Founder's Day, I think, was on... Yeah, was it Friday? I feel like AKA Deltas and...
Or was this on Sunday? One of those.
Thetas or... I don't know. They all have their Founders Day like within the week of one another. Mm-hmm. So I get so confused.
They were going to act up.
Yeah. I'm like, this is great. CNN had two of Kamala's sorority sisters on, and I love seeing that they were in their pearls and in their little pink and green. I'm like, this is it. this is, I always said when I was a kid, I'm not in a sorority, but if I were in a sorority, it would be AKAs. Like, those are, that's my soul.
My friend Jonathan is constantly on here every other week. Shout out to Jonathan. Everyone like knows him. He constantly hates on AKAs. He says they're like, you know, very stuck up. You know, he's just like,
I'll take it.
Tuckish. Yeah. I love him. Whatever. He says I'd probably be one if I were a black woman. But yeah. But do you have like a favorite AKA? Because there's some very famous ones now. I mean, obviously, Kamala is the,
yes, the foremost. AKA. Who else?
Giselle is the most.
Yeah, I was gonna say Giselle.
Giselle is the most AKA-est woman on earth to me. See, like when I think of an AKA, I'm like, yep, that's exactly Wendy's one.
Giselle Bryant, really?
Wendy Osefo is one.
She
doesn't give me that.
I see her more as a Delta. Okay, yeah. I get in her younger days her fulfilling the AKA prophecy, so I feel like it makes sense. But Giselle is. When they printed the blueprint for an AKA, Giselle popped out. Like, that is what it is truly all about.
Very much so. Do you know, have you been following Real Housewives in New York? Like, do you follow Real Housewives when it's not filming?
Yes.
You do? So Real Housewives in New York, you know, Ebony Williams.
Can't wait.
She's an AKA.
She is? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll have to get more of her personality to see what they are amongst if us. She follows it. Yeah.
It's like you have to be AKA to be a Real Housewife.
Yes. I mean, it's like if you're a Real Housewife of color, you got to be an AKA, which makes sense because AKAs seem more geared toward the limelight. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. God, they're going to drag me for this. No. So we're going to get to her, but I was going to talk about, Tiffany Trump. Did you see that she just got engaged?
Jesus Christ.
Did you see that?
I didn't realize. Is literally marrying a Nigerian prince because he is from, lives and grew up in Nigeria. I think from I forget where he was born, but he grew up in Nigeria and went to an American school in Nigeria, and his family is like royalty. So homegirl married a Nigerian prince, which is insane, is marrying one. And I think that Tiffany Trump is, and I am okay saying this on record, one of the most unattractive people that has ever.
Yeah. Faces. Ugly from the inside out.
Yeah. And I'm
like, I say she looks like a microwaved American Girl doll.
She does. That is the best way to put it. She does, because it's something slightly poofed up but deflated about her face. And then it looks like an American Girl doll that got stepped on in the face, then put in the microwave.
Yes. It is ran over twice.
Very, yeah. It is a very unique and hideous look.
So they were posing in the hallway of the White House, you know, the day that he's on moving day. On moving day. he stands just like her daddy.
She does.
He does. He was like standing on his tiptoes. He stands on his tiptoes. You know how like lean forward?
Yeah. Oh, it's weird. God. It sends shivers up my spine thinking about Trump's body language. I'm like, I want nothing to do with anything that man has to offer.
Yeah. So she did that. I was talking about it on Instagram. I was like saying that she it was like her doing that on moving day while all this chaos is going on and everything's burning around her. Like literally her family's life is collectively is falling apart. Like they're all the Southern District of New York is about to get your entire fucking family. And she's like, anyways, ring.
It's like read the room, the epitome of reading the room. And I wouldn't be surprised if she, I doubt she can read a book, so I'm not shocked she can't read a room. Like, that is, it was jaw-dropping.
The band that kept playing when the Titanic was sinking?
Yeah.
she's the drunk girl who's dancing to the band playing as the Titanic sinks, you know what I mean?
People are trying to load themselves under those lifeboats.
She's like dancing.
Yeah. The Titanic splitting in half and people are sliding down. She's still dancing.
Have you seen Bling Empire?
Yes, I binged it this week.
It's the only way to do it.
It is. I thought I would turn it. I was like, okay, I'm going to watch an episode. The sun started setting I was done. Yeah, it gets so good.
Because it took me about like two episodes and I was like, and that's then I was exactly like, wait a minute. It. Because I didn't like Kevin at first.
I still don't like him. I think that he is... I get that he's trying to fit into their, like, world, or trying to find his space in their world, but I also feel like he's just plain and simple annoying. So that doesn't have anything to do with money. That just is... He's annoying, and that's it.
He's really annoying. It's a pretty common reality television trope, right? For, like, when you introduce a new series, you have someone who kind of comes in as an outsider who has less money or is kind of like, you know, I would say, like, the same of, like, Bethany Frankel was the narrator on Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah.
Trying to think of another example. Maybe...
Southern Charm did it a little bit with Cameron, although she was still, like, their stature, but she, like, narrated the show of, like, this is what's happening.
Okay. It happens a lot. Yeah. I would even say, like, with The Hills, too. Like, she was new.
Yes.
Moving to L.A. and all these people were already kind of established. Things like that. But I feel like that's a pretty common trope. But I do think that it was a missed opportunity making it a man and not making it a woman. I would have much rather seen an Asian girl for some reason kind of come into this, because there's a lot of talk about, like, marriage and dating. You know what I mean? That was a lot of, like, and I don't know. It just, like, there was kind of a missed opportunity focusing on a straight guy who's only, he was like, I live with my roommates and I want to date this girl. It's like, we know that she would never date you. So next.
Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Plain to see that date they went on.
Your credit score is Cheeto dust. She's not going to date you.
Honestly, she's not going to date you. I literally am obsessed with the show, but my favorites were Jamie, the one who's, like, rarely there, and
she's not good on camera, but I think she's interesting.
I think she's interesting. I start following her on Instagram, and it really is a moment. The fashions are there. I love.
Did you read the Vogue article?
No, not they wrote yet.
They wrote her up. Okay, go to my Instagram stories after this. I highlighted. I did a, like, whole rundown and a deep dive on all the people, and I did a swipe up and everything.
Perfect. I will be.
And if you guys haven't seen it, watch it, then go to my Instagram and look up the highlights. But yeah, it's Anna.
Anna is made for TV. Yes. She is, and the way she just always looks down and is so, her face seems to just be drawn to the ground. And I'm like, I feel bad for her poor neck, because I'm like, just lift up your chin a little bit and straighten it out.
She's on something, right?
Right.
She's on pills,
right? There's gotta be something. Because
I guess.
The energy it's not natural.
Yeah. I still stand here completely.
Yes.
She makes that show. She is like the Big Ange of that show. She is like the Karen Huger. She is like the Leah Black. You need that, like, spice who's kind of like, what are they thinking? She's the Sister Mary.
I also love how you call Mary Sister Mary.
Sister Mary from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. You know what I mean? She's kind of like, what is she doing here? It's like,
Because she also was decades older than the rest of the main cast. And
they kept being like, she's impressive. Back. And I'm like, was she? They were like, she's back in town. It's like, where was she? Where was she? Yeah. I love her. I'm obsessed with her. And you know what? She seems like a good person.
She does. She does. And doesn't seem, and as rich as she is, she doesn't seem like crazy about it. You know, she seems decent.
You know what I will say? This is probably a hot take that a lot of people are going to try to drag me for, but this show, and just like, what was it, 8 episodes? This show gave me more than an entire season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. This show is doing what that show couldn't do.
Wow.
Anna alone is doing what the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills can't do, because she has heart. She's interesting. Yeah. She actually has money. She's not trying to impress anyone. She's just rich.
That is so
and she's
true.
Just, she's interesting. I would literally watch a show of just Anna doing whatever the fuck she does. You know what I mean? She's an eccentric millionaire.
Even watching her bust down her closet with that hammer thing.
Mallet.
I'm like, that is the... I'm like, I could have watched that for an hour. That would have been fascinating.
And she had those Iyanla moments when she's talking. And I just was like, you are such a sweet lady. Like, and she's like, I gave you this because you're my friend. You know what I mean? And I was like,
yeah, and it's like, wow. That was a beautiful moment.
You don't get that heart from anyone on Real Housewives, or at least I don't, on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I think that we could give her, if we give Garcelle a couple more seasons or a season and a half, you think Sutton?
Sutton and Garcelle together, I think bring out the best in each other.
Yeah, that is true.
To me, I think they'd be a great duo.
Yeah, I hope Sutton comes back as a full-time housewife, though. That would be my dream. Like, that my dream, would boost it.
My dream trifecta, like the Charlie's Angels of that show, would be like Denise and Garcelle. Because, like, Garcelle makes Denise appetizing. Like, yes. Denise on her own isn't great, but when Garcelle's with her and she's defending her, I'm like, yes, thank you if you're here.
I'm so sad that Denise and Garcelle can't play off each other for at least another season. Because I'm like, that would have been... the stories they could tell together would have been such a leap from last year that it would be well worth the watch.
Yes. You know, interesting tidbit I found out after watching Bling Empire is that Christine... The villain, you know Christine. Yeah. She is a Christina or Christina? Or Christine.
Christine.
Christine, okay. She filmed for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She was being cast. Yeah, there's even, if you look up after this, Google her name and Brandy Glanville. They filmed some scenes together at a restaurant for season 5, and I guess it was just scrapped. Would have been so interesting. Although I think she's a little heavy-handed. She's the most, like, of all the women on that show, she's the most who's, like, clearly wants to be on reality TV, wants to be a, which is, it's fine. Which I like her still.
So be it. Yeah. But it is like more of, like, an energy. You know who is a sleeper cell is Sherry, the gal who had the baby.
Yeah.
Something about her I'm obsessed with. She's so sweet. She's so
gorgeous.
Beautiful, very rich. Very normal seeming too, and like just her emotions, it was just great. Bling Empire can't say enough.
Great season, things. Yeah. Season 2 is gonna be it. It's gonna be
oh
it.
My God.
Give me 3 more of these people. There's got to be more. I want like an extended cast now.
And now I'm like, give me 22 episodes. give me
that
work.
Weird guy who was running around who found the penis pump with the hair, and he had
the hairstylist.
Yeah, is that his name? And he had like the lace up thing with he looked like Xena Warrior Princess with like
Oh my god.
I loved it. If you guys haven't seen it, run, don't walk.
Exactly.
All about diversity in general, honestly, but there's that pocket of LA or that Beverly Hills, I guess, of like rich Asians is just like so intriguing to me. And the fact that they only filmed in Asian restaurants and at Asian parties, which just like shows you an entirely other world.
It's great. It's great. And as someone who lives in LA, I'm like, wow, it was so fun to see like familiar places and see them used in different ways than I've ever been like exposed to. And in terms of like the wealth, basically. And I'm like, this is so, it's like I'm looking at something in a different country because it's so far removed from my daily life. That it's fascinating. Yeah. And that goes to show, like, even with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, it still feels like it's at my doorstep. But this feels so upper echelon that it's so aspirational.
And Bravo needed to, like, move a little bit faster because I feel like if they had moved faster, they would have gotten on this boat and hit. But now it's Netflix, as you know. I feel like I was thinking about it right before you came on and I was like, 2021 is going to literally be, like, you remember, like, in Clueless when Cher's walking around introducing Ty to everybody and she's like, those are the rich Persians. Or is that right? And those are the rich Persians and then those are the stoners and da-da-da-da. I feel like 2021 is, like, giving all of those tables in the cafeteria their own reality shows. You know what I mean?
And it's like, and we deserve it.
Speaking of unfriendly black hotties. Wait, that's Mean Girls, right?
That's Mean Girls, yeah.
Basketball Wives is supposed to come back. Did you ever watch this?
I never got into Basketball Wives.
Okay. All right. It's okay. It's not even good.
VH1. Okay.
It's very VH1.
I've thought about dabbling because I've done like a little bit of Love and Hip Hop. I've done a little bit of, what's the one that's on like Wii TV?
I don't do Wii.
Yeah, it was something. It's whatever K. Michelle was on. I think.
She was on Love and Hip Hop, and then she also had her solo show called My Life. Okay. Yeah, she was on Love and Hip Hop.
Maybe. So, like, I've dabbled, but Basketball Wives, have no interest in sports whatsoever, I'm like,
they don't talk about it in terms of, like, the men that they sleep with, and then that's it.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Then maybe I'll dip my toe in.
Dip in. I was just gonna mention that. It's coming back. But in terms of diversity, I guess we were talking about that, and I was going to ask what your thoughts were on Real Housewives of Dallas, Tiffany Moon.
So I saw like half an episode with Tiffany, and I like her. I think that she challenges the ladies.
I love her.
From what I've seen so far, and I'm like, wow, you really, especially Cameron needs that. Like, they need diversity to learn some stuff. Like, unfortunately, it takes someone coming in who looks differently than them for them to learn these hard lessons about life that they should have learned already. But it's important.
What you have to do is as a non-white person, you just have to be an educator and also a co-star and like a teacher and a best friend. It's like
all these different hats.
She's doing really, really well, though. It's like episode 3, I think, was last night. Mm-hmm. I watched it this morning. It's I can't remember what day it is now. I think it was 2 days ago. She's doing amazing. She's great. I love her, like, backstory. You should watch it more and see, like, her family and stuff like that. It's really good.
I'm nervous to dip my toe back into Dallas because I'm just oh, Lord. I was, too.
I was actually going to skip the entire thing, and I'm so glad I didn't just because of her. Because it's, like, a totally – she's the first, like, first-generation Asian-American and on Real Housewives, and it's just like her everything it's not, she's like from China and she brings so much information with her. She makes the women sit down and eat the official cuisine of China, and it's just like it brings up and then it's like, but the conversations that it brings up wouldn't happen on, like, with, for instance, like Jules, who was on Real Housewives of New York. It wouldn't have happened with her, you know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't know. It's a different flavor.
Okay, I'll watch for her. I had been a little fatigued by Dallas. It was just so white that I was like, I gotta take a break. But I'll dip back in.
If they were to give another city, who would you sell?
I would. So Andy and I are both from St. Louis, and he has famously said that he would never do a St. Louis Housewives, but I want there to be a St. Louis Housewives. Like,
well, what is St. Louis considered? Is that, like, considered the South, or is that, like, the Midwest?
I think it's because partially...
Because of Missouri, Missouri is, like, right above...
Here's the thing. I am solidly in the camp of Midwest. If people ever say I'm from the South, I'm like, that is a bold-faced lie, and you better take it back. Okay, But... I think that there is a lot of confusion about what St. Louis is and, like, that part of Missouri. So it sort of is, like, some of the confusion surrounding what Salt Lake City is. And, like, it just is a little bit of, like, well, what is it truly like there? Like, we know what the identity is. And I think that St. Louis could really shock with its luxury and its the millionaires and all things like that. And it would be a teachable moment about what St. Louis truly is. So I think that would be a great city. I also wouldn't mind. I think there are a lot of Southern shows, but I wouldn't mind something in, like, Washington. Now that we have Salt Lake City, like something like Seattle Housewives, something like that would be fun.
That could be interesting. There's a lot of money there in tech money, right?
There's a lot of money.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. I definitely, honestly, I'm fine with any big city. Or not a big city, I'm sorry, like random cities. Like, I think that, like, the whole thing with, like, Potomac, and everyone thought that was going to be garbage, but look at it, it's, like, the best one. Salt Lake City turned out to be amazing. If they said tomorrow that they were going to do, like, Boca Raton, I would be like, just do it.
Just do it. And actually, I know you'll find the best. Because I think they've gotten the perfect recipe for finding people out the gate who know how to play the game and know how to be great housewives. Like, Salt Lake City really showed that. So literally wherever they chose, they know how to cast the right people and the right connections and all
you
that.
You know what it is?
That's great.
I say this all the time. I think that the key is, like, don't pick the major cities. Like, if you went to Chicago, you'd probably find tons of people that are really trying to, like, clamor to be on reality TV. But if you did New Orleans, you might find a really small pocket of women who never considered being on television. And that's where you find the magic. Karen Huger was walking in Saks one day. And you know what I mean? It's like to think she was walking around in the wild, just existing.
Exactly.
Just existing for free. Like, Karen Huger was, can y'all believe Karen Huger was, like, out there living for free?
Oh my God. We weren't giving her any flowers for just purely existing.
We weren't paying her money to be herself.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
It's almost a crime. It is a crime that these
Ashley Darby.
I was going to say Ashley Darby and Michael Darby, the fact that their marital issues weren't ever exposed prior to this show. These are things that are important television. It makes it appointment TV.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree with that. We were talking about Ross as a Salt Lake City. I'm kind of getting like fatigued with it a little bit. Just, you know what it
in
is
what
though?
Way?
I miss Mary. There's not enough Mary.
Well, here's the thing about Mary. I love her, but she stresses me out when she's on camera. It makes me feel like, oh God, is she going to be able to get these sentences out? What is she trying to say?
She's not a deliverer. She doesn't like, she's not a wordsmith.
Yeah. And I'm like, it makes me a little stressed out, but I'm still so intrigued and obsessed because I come from the church, and the fact that she's a pastor is like, we don't give enough credit to the fact that there is a pastor who is a real housewife.
Who's like literally the meanest person on the cast.
Exactly. So I'm like, this is a major moment that the entire country should be paying attention to. In my eyes, it was as big as the inauguration. This is something that we need to have eyes on.
Yeah. So how do you feel about her? Because, I mean, the past three episodes, it's been clear that, like, at the beginning of filming, they thought she might be a housewife, and then I think something happened along the way, and she was going to be a friend of, so filmed, like, significantly less. That's why we don't have that much footage of her right now, and they're filming a lot of stuff with her on her own. But, you know, I wish that she's not going to go on the Vegas trip. I don't want to see the Vegas trip unless Sister Mary.
Without Mary.
You imagine Sister Mary walking around, and what is that, the shops? You know the shops in Vegas with the fake ceiling?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I want to see Mary running around to Versace in there with bags in her arms and a wig.
Yes.
Like, and I want
slightly
that.
Tilted. Yeah. Oh god.
Like, I want to just like see her like shopping up a storm. I want to see her doing it all at showgirls shows and all that. But unfortunately, we're not going to get that.
That just means hopefully next season they'll have a bigger trip and Mary can do her thing and it'll be well worth the wait.
I asked this last week of a guest, where do you think that their next trip will be? If everything's open.
I think it's going to be somewhere like, this is weird because they're coming from Salt Lake City, but no, not weird because that would be Greenland. I think it'll be Iceland.
Oh, weird. Ross's of OC already did
OC
that.
OC did that. But I think
why would they go?
Because it is familiar territory, and these are the type of women who will be like, I want to see the Northern Lights. They're basic in a way.
They want to see,
they've been to Paris. They've been to, you know, Amsterdam. They've been to Italy. They want to do something that is sort
of
like.
I've been. Let's go.
Like, take me.
Mary's like, I've been to Milan. It's like, well, bitch, I have been. Let's go.
I want to see. Yeah. I want to see what they're talking about.
Oh,
but
my God.
I think it would be in Iceland. What about you?
I said the Vatican. I said they would probably go to, you know, to do a religious type. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could be. Vegas is an interesting, because it's like City of Sin. It just kind of ties in. It's perfect for them.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting when Housewives can take trips again. I'm not really interested in seeing Beverly Hills if they can only just go up to like a lake house, which they've been doing,
Malibu.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's like, okay.
It's the same city, baby, basically. Yeah. So let's keep it moving.
I want to talk to you about Real Housewives of Atlanta, Real Housewives of Potomac. I want to talk about the vacations. I want to talk more about Wendy Williams. There's so much. do you want to plug tell me about your podcast and when, how frequent it is and when it's coming out again?
Yeah.
Any other projects that you've got going on?
Oh, it is on Radio Andy at Smith Sisters Live every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern. It's hosted by me and my sisters. It's on Channel 102. And I'm also hosting a podcast that will launch in February called Spectacle about the history of reality TV. And that's coming from Neon Hum Media. So you can follow me on Twitter at Mariah, M-R-I-A-H, or Instagram at Mariah, Mariah, Mariah for more info.
And is the spectacle, is that going to be like deep dives of different
It's
going to
be deep dives of different shows from like starting like from 30 years ago. So it's going to be very,
love this. Oh
very
my God.
Intense. Yeah. And fun.
What are you going to start? Can you tell, or do you not want to tell what the first?
The first episode is actually going to be about the first reality show called An American Family, which is from the 70s.
Which 70s, yeah.
Yeah. And so that is the baseline, but we're definitely doing Housewives, Kardashians, Bachelor, anything you can imagine.
If I could add, have you ever heard of 7-Up?
No.
Oh, you should really look this up. So 7-Up, I talk about it a lot. At the beginning of this podcast, I used to talk about it a ton because I was going through a thing where I was just binging it at the beginning of the quarantine pandemic. And 7-Up is originally like a British series. And it started with a British filmmaker. And he was a documentary filmmaker. And he would, it was like 1960-something. I think it was 1963. And he found a group of seven-year-olds from all over Great Britain and from different socioeconomic backgrounds, different nationalities. They had white kids from like, you know, and then they have like black kids maybe from like, you know, lower socioeconomic standing. And they got them all together and they asked them about their aspirations in life, what they want to be when they grow up, what they think about marriage, religion, all of these things. And it's, you know, it's like it's a movie. It's like an hour and a half. And then at the end of the movie, they're all playing together in a playground. Then they come back 7 years later and take all the same kids at their age 14 and ask them again, like, you know, check in with them. And you watch their life kind of progress. Then they come back again another 7 years and are 21 and so on and so on. Now these people are, I think, I'm doing the math. I think they're like 67 or 70 something now. So they've been doing this for every 7 years. That's the British one. And it's really interesting. You should definitely look into it. It's so good.
I will watch that.
But there's an American one that started in the 80s, in 1983, I think it was, and it was narrated by Meryl Streep.
And
the one in the U.S. was more interesting to me because obviously we're like more widespread and we have way bigger melting pot and different kind of things going on. But it was like the 80s, so like you had three little white girls from Upper East Side. You had like a Spanish kid from the they were from the Upper West Side. This Spanish kid was like from the Lower East Side and the projects, living in foster care. You had a girl, a black girl living in rural Georgia. And then you had like a white boy living in rural Georgia. They had like total, it's like around like 20 kids or something like that. I want to say like 15 to 20 kids. It's insane, but it's definitely worth a watch because if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, it's like very, it's very interesting. But they continued that one. They did 7, 14, 21, and then they never stopped. They never continued after 21. Maybe the filmmaker, I don't know if he died or something, or maybe it's funding. Yeah. But it's really interesting.
I will definitely watch that today.
They had like a kid from LA. You know what the 7-Up for? I did a whole photo story. I wonder if I saved it on my Instagram highlights. I'll look after this, but I think you can find it on either YouTube or on one of those like Daily Motion, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Look up 7 Up in America, 14 Up in America, 21 Up in America. Yeah.
It's so good.
If you like, something that you could fit in between, what is it, American, whatever?
The American Family, yeah.
American Family. And it would kind of, it would sit in between those because it was like in the 80s. And then after that came the Real World and so on. And yeah.
Right. Oh, that's so fascinating.
It's interesting. And they're like around our age now, the kids.
Yeah.
So. But there's that. So I'm definitely going to check out your podcast. And are you going to be covering like Flavor of Love and all that too? Cause that's like
not
top
this
tier.
Season. So we're going to do like a little bit of dating show stuff with The Bachelor, but definitely season two.
Okay.
Look out for that.
I love that. You guys know where to follow me on Instagram. Also, don't forget I have a weekly podcast with Tracy Morrissey called The Recap, where we recap Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and now Real Housewives of Dallas. Shock. I was not expecting to like Dallas as much, enough to even recap it weekly, but God. Tiffany Moon is worth it. When Salt Lake City goes away, Jersey's back, and I'm so excited. So we're going
to
cover
I'm excited to listen to you all cover Jersey. It'll be a good one.
Yeah. If you guys want to subscribe to that, it's for subscribers only for the Patreon. It's patreon.com/thebelist, and you could subscribe there for the recap weekly episodes. You saw the trailer for Jersey, right?
Yes, it was wild.
Margaret's going to come on. She's coming on here. I love her.
Oh, my God. Oh,
Love she was Marsha. On one of our first, I think she was on our very first episode here on the podcast. It was like a year
that
ago.
That is great.
I love her. She is like changed that franchise.
Yes, she really did. She breathed new life into it. It was what they needed. Yeah. Margaret and her pigtails really just took it to a new level.
What do you think, though, about them only having six women for the past three seasons?
I think it's good because I think Jersey has a very specific, like, it's more close-knit than all of the other franchises. So I think mm-hmm. it works. And if they were to expand, it would be hard for someone to break into that mold because yeah. it's such an institution now in and of itself with their staples that it's like you've got to keep it small to keep the drama heightened.
I do think that you could bring Caroline Manzo back, though, and she would yes. be, it would make yes. sense. It would make sense, and it would be
yeah. like, you'd have to bring someone who had been there before. You'd make something that makes sense like that, but not anyone just brand new.
And I love a little bit of older housewife. I feel like it would really balance things out, so.
Yeah.
Because I don't want, yeah. I don't usually like younger housewives.
Typically. Me either, because I'm like, you don't have, like, because, like, you can tell the maturity that Karen Huger has and all yes. that she brings to stuff. And then you compare that to Whitney Rose on Salt Lake City, and you're yeah. like, wow, there is just something, the weight of a life lived makes a housewife
yes.
really sore.
Also, I just like, I grew up around like tons of aunties, so it's just like, yeah. I love a woman of a certain age whose kids are off to college, and when it's girls' weekend time, she's like drunk on white Sauvignon, or Sauvignon Blanc, white Sauvignon Blanc. White wine, drunk on white wine, and just like when it's vacation time, it's vacation time. They're doing like, they're like Karen, she's allegedly getting high.
I know, right?
Smoking weed when she was, I know, drinking those like, what were they drinking?
Fireballs.
Yeah. Love it. Anyways, guys, we're going to meet us on the B side. We're going to talk about all these shows. Yeah. Thanks, guys.